Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You know, every time I get up here, I just have this overwhelming feeling, this surge of adrenaline. I've just picked up exercising lately, and I just love that surge of adrenaline. And it's bad when the kids in the youth group, you know, they're like, "So, when you having the baby?" Like, that's not funny. It's not funny. But we've learned to make jokes about it, and so I picked up exercise because now I'm self-conscious because they're so mean to me. Guys?
We're not that mean.
Okay, not that mean. And I've been exercising, and it's been trying to say the least. As I think about exercising and how painful it is as I do it day in and day out, I've been thinking about how God exercises us in other areas of our life, and so I want to talk about a little bit about that tonight. So if we can pray, we'll get right into that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for exercising us. We thank you, Father, that you wouldn't just leave us in one place, that we would just be stagnant, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that as we open up our hearts, as we submit to you, Lord, that you are ready to pour out love through us, to use us. I don't know why, Lord, but you do. You use us. So, Father, I pray that you would just be with all of us here this evening, that you would pour into all of us, Lord, and that you would show us that exercising is a wonderful thing. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have my physical exercise. And then, you know, God brings in the aspect of spiritual exercise. And as I was thinking about that, the first time I recognized I was being spiritually exercised was when Becky was pregnant with Mary. We found out she was pregnant. It was like, oh, it's so awesome. You know, we've been waiting, and it took so long to just get pregnant, and it was just so amazing. However, we got to the doctors and they told us that Mary was most likely going to have Down syndrome. And I was like, wow, you know, that really bummed us out. And I think it wouldn't have bummed us out as much as if we wouldn't have lost a child, you know, just, I think it was 4 years prior to that, where Becky had carried a child up for like 6 months. And then we had to go through a 48-hour period for her to deliver birth to death. So, even though this trial that God had put before us was heart-wrenching, He gave us an opportunity to do it over. Not just in the aspect of having a child, but that we actually got to give this child over to Him. We gave Mary to God. I just remember, you know, thinking, and I relate to Hannah when she had Samuel. You know, she was just like, Lord, you know, just, I don't care. Just give me a child. I don't care what it is. Just, I want to give it to you. And that's what we did. We gave Mary to the Lord, and God used it mightily. As you can see, when she's bossing you around in the hallway and she's bossing your kids in the hallway, there you can see there's nothing wrong with her. She's just fine. It was through this trial that God showed me the importance of exercising my faith. See, we have an option, we have a choice to choose to let Him take care of our situations, every situation we come across in life, every situation. And it is through our trials that God has set up an exercise program that promotes healthy spiritual living. Okay? He's got an exercise program, and I know you're like, exercise program. Now, exercise is okay for you, James. You're the one that looks like you're having a child. No. Okay, well, I don't like to exercise. But some of you may be saying, you know, okay, well, you know, I like to exercise. Exercise is good. It's funny, we live in a society that we're so extreme in one way or the other. Either we're, you know, all out and look buff like Sheldon, wherever Sheldon's at. Yeah, he's so buff. He's awesome. He's my role model, by the way, guys. And then there's people that like to sit and front of the TV, which I might fall under that category. And it's funny because I can always tell the people who are really into exercise and the people who are really not into exercise by just this following list I'm about to read to you. P90X. Does anybody know what that is? P90X? Man, it's nothing I want part of. But some people, you guys, Josh, Mr. Dugan, you get you some P90X, don't you? Yes, he does. And if you think you want to outdo Josh, they have Ultimate Insanity. Have you guys heard of that? Ultimate Insanity? Well, I don't think I could go that far, so I'm going to go with the 2-minute abs, all right? Or you can do Patrick's favorite, Jazzercise. So, boy, do I have something coming now. So, whether, you know, you are into exercise or not, guys, all joking aside, God is more concerned in exercising our faith more than He is our muscle. So, let's go ahead and take this opportunity tonight to talk about exactly that, exercising our faith. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Let's face it, guys. When we exercise our faith in trials, trials are no fun. Just like as Becky and I went through the trial of having to choose to give Mary over to God, it wasn't convenient. It gave us an opportunity to complain. And, well, honestly, it made me question the very fabric of my reality. And that's not fun. Now, here in the book of James, we're going to find that exercising our faith when experiencing trials can, and dare I say it, can be a wonderful thing. Okay, that sounds painful. So, let's read through the passage real quick, and then we'll start our workout in verse 1, okay? So are we there? Everyone there? Yep, you guys are there. All right. And it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So let's go ahead and head back over to verse 1, and let's dig in. So it says, I, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Here we have a letter written by the half-brother of Jesus, James. He is writing the letter to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but if anybody that you can look back on as we read the Bible, if you can see any group of people that have ever faced trials, I would say it would be the 12 tribes of Israel. I find it hard-pressed to find another group that is a better example. To present trials and to show people about trials, I look at them in slavery in Egypt. I see them in slavery again in Babylon. And yet God is working with them and continues to work with them. And then I see them trying to be pure, but getting caught up in idolatry. And then I see them, you know, being outcasts, because then for the ones who realize that Jesus is the Messiah, their own people won't even accept Him. And so, wow, what a way to open up with a greeting. A greeting that God has made a perfect example to deliver this message to these people and through these people to us. So let's continue in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I love it, guys. Without a stride, God starts off just like, look, guys, it's all joy. I'm gonna lay it down right here, right now. We're just gonna get everything out of the way, and I'm gonna cut to the chase. Guys, don't worry. This is a letter of encouragement. Let's count it all joy. When you fall into various trials, he's like, chalk it up, man. It's scoreboard, dude. Scoreboard. You can count it as joy. Count it. What's going on in your lives right now? What are the things that are hindering you, holding you down, tying you back, pulling you back, pushing you under? What are those things? He's like, count it joy. Do it. Okay, that's easier said than done. It could be said that, you know, when we fall into, you know, that lack of money that always seems to happen, or that job that's not working out, or not being where you think you should be in life. Anybody here think that you should be in a certain place or a certain somewhere here in life right now? Did you think it was going to look different? I know I did. So in all the things that we can fall into, everybody's fallen, you know, when you're little and you're walking around and you're learning to walk, and everybody has fallen. What's that feeling when you fall? What's that feeling when you fall? It's a feeling of helplessness. Where you can't grab on anything, your hands are going everywhere. Well, it's funny because that same feeling of helplessness I got to experience this last winter. I was playing with Mary, and I, from all the laughs I heard earlier, I take everyone is familiar with Mary. And I was playing on a snow patch that there was ice underneath it. And so we're playing, we're messing around, and Mary's like throwing snowballs and then eating a little bit of snow and then throwing it at me. And I just remember, all of a sudden I saw the ground and then I saw the sky. And I was like, what? And then all of a sudden it blacked out and then all of a sudden I woke up. So I was lying on the ground and it turns out I sustained a minor concussion. And I felt so helpless. It was so bad that I couldn't move at first, that I literally had to crawl back into the house. So as I crawled, as I was trying to get my bearings, I finally got to the doctor and all that. And what they told me is concussions, what they do, and this is from my own personal account, is that everything slows down. Everything just feels like it's in slow-mo. And everything's out of sync. Everything just doesn't feel quite right. And that's exactly what it's like when we face trials in life. We're going along, we feel great, we're doing good, everything's just like, man, this is exactly how I always imagined it, and wham! Our spiritual life, everything becomes slow and out of sync. And it just doesn't help when, you know, you got your 5-year-old daughter laughing at you because she thinks you're playing, right? I slipped, I fell, she's like, ha! You know, it's like good times for her. And sometimes when we fall into trials, we feel like people are laughing at us. Don't we? We look at other people. I know they're laughing at me. It's true. It's rough. And we feel helpless. We feel out of control. And, you know, we try to put it back into sync so desperately. We try with our own plans and our own ways. We try to justify and work and manipulate a way to make it line back up and get down that path that felt so right. Now, I'm going to point out that 10 out of 10 times that you try to do this, it's going to equate to a very miserable outlook on life. This concerns all of us when we think about this. It is concerning all of us, except for James, this guy who's saying, count it all joy. Dude, I land and busted my head open, everything's out of sync, and I'm supposed to count it all joy? Why should I consider this? Well, verse 3 clues us in. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay? Well, first off, James is giving us assurance. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit working through James, telling us, like, hey, check it out. You are assured. You can be secure in what I'm saying about the joy thing, even when you're hurting and when you're counting all of it and it's all coming at you. Yeah, I'm assuring you in what I'm saying, and that the testing is exercising our faith. Okay? And that when we exercise has benefits, doesn't it? It's just like we don't just exercise to lose weight. There's other benefits. I noticed since I've been exercising, I have a little more energy with the youth. I can roughhouse a little more, even though I have a bum shoulder. But I still give them a run for their money. But we can produce muscle. We can produce stamina. Those are good benefits. So what are the benefits of exercising our faith? Well, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Everybody come follow over to Hebrews 11. Verse 1, and then we're going to take a look at verse 6. We're just going to jump around a little bit. So it says, Hebrews 11, 1, says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't tell you how many times as a Christian I've heard this. I've heard this. It was one of the first scriptures I've heard. And, you know, it rings and it's like, yeah, yeah. But when trials come, we're like, no, no, no. And it's funny because through faith, we have hope in the unseen. And especially our hope in Jesus, guys. If you do not have hope, how can you have faith in the unseen? You see, we must exercise our faith in order that our hope will remain strong and steadfast. And then we can go to Hebrews 11, 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So not only do we exercise our faith in order that our hope will remain strong and steadfast, we must believe. We must believe in our trials that He exists. But this is the second part. Guys, this is the part that we all forget. He's a rewarder for those who believe. How many people feel like they're being rewarded in their trials tonight? You do? Praise God. You guys got the right answer. I know I don't. A lot of times I don't. It is our human nature to believe in what our flesh tells us. And we forget. We forget that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. I often think when it is time to exercise our faith that we forget that second half. It brings to mind when Becky lost her job. I was here on staff for first 6 months, Becky, was it? I was on staff. It wasn't long. You know, I'm stepping out in faith. I'm just like, I'm going for it. You know, God's called me to ministry and woohoo, and this is going to be all fun and fruit and candy and good times. Good times. But that's not what exactly happened. What happened was she lost her job and we didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how we were going to put a roof over our head. I didn't know how we were going to pay for the cars. I didn't know how we were going to feed the children. I didn't know, but I can tell you what. God has sustained us. And looking back, staying faithful to what God had called us to here at this church, the Lord had rewarded us in such a numerous ways. I might not have saw it all then, but when I think of the envelopes of money that were just found with no name, saying to James and Becky, We never went without. God provided. He is a rewarder for those who are steadfast, for those who seek Him. So, guys, do you see the rewards? The rewards of a good workout are many, guys, but if you don't actually exercise, guess what? You won't see the rewards. So the same when exercising your faith during a trial. If you do not believe God's got it, there'll be no reward. And he wants to bless you. He just ain't going to be able to. So when exercising faith, there are many more benefits than you might think. Some very important fruit that will help in exercising faith and sticking with it. Because it's one thing to exercise, right? And then there's another thing to like stick with your exercise program, right? It's like, I know that for me, it's just like reading your Bible. Like, I do really good, and then I do really bad, and then I do really good, and then I do really bad. And there's just these, it's like this. And it's same with exercise. Like, I'll do good 1 week, and then I'll miss 3 days. It's like, sometimes it's just, it feels like, why do I even do this? But God has put something into this. God has got a plan, an exercise plan, and it's fail-proof, really. And if we recognize what this plan is, and he gives us some very important fruit, and we see that patience is the outcome. It's the fruit of exercising our faith. So, okay, guys, when you hear patience and you hear faith, does that sound like a good time? Does that sound like the exercise program you want to sign up for? Someone told me not too long ago, I was like, man, I'm just struggling with patience. She's like, you haven't been praying for patience lately, have you? No, I haven't. I've learned that one long ago. No, sir, not asking for any of that. But here we see that God has patience in place, and there are reasons why. And in James 1, verse 4, he's going to give us the answer. In verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As I mentioned before, sounds extremely painful. And actually, the thought of patience having its perfect work in my life does not sound like an exercise program that I would ever want to sign up for. As a matter of fact, I think I'll take chances with the creepy kid that spends his spare time running his nails across a chalkboard. Because that's how I feel. But upon closer inspection of this verse, this is key, guys. We need to go back. He's telling us something. God's telling us, and if you miss this word, it's done. He's saying to let patience have its perfect work. It's saying when an exercising faith produces patience, we need to submit to God with our lives in trials. When submission kicks in, it's key. And thinking about patience having that perfect work, you know, in that positive light, when I start thinking about, you know, patience in that positive light instead of wanting to hang out with the creepy kid, I think of the word abide. When I'm waiting for something, I like to chill. Like, if I'm going to wait, I'm not going to stand and wait. I want to sit down and relax. And I'm telling you right now, God wants you to do just that. When the word abide means to lay into, or to trust, to completely trust. So who has a favorite chair? Your favorite place to sit? Oh, I know I do. Oh, Lord, I know I do. I love to relax. I love to lay in bed. I love to chill out when I get a chance. And it's so amazing. You know, I think I have like a body groove in the chair that I sit in. Everybody got a body groove in that chair? It just fits me perfectly. Well, I'm going to give you one more example that I want you to take home with you tonight when you think of the word abide. Have you ever lit a candle, you get one of them big candles, and you let it burn for a while. You got all that wax in there. You ever pour some of that wax in your hand? Just see what it's like. Just see if it's hot, if it's going to burn you a little bit. Right? It melts and it fits to the palm of your hand. I want to just throw this out to you guys tonight. You know, when we talk about God molding us, I this is what I tell my youth kids. I tell them, melt into Jesus' hands. Melt into his hands. There's no other place to be, to melt into the hands of God. to take form of what's holding you. Letting us become more like Him so He can do what He needs to do. That's abiding, to melt into to God's hands. So when we submit and let God, He is able. That perfect work will bring us much needed drink from that fountain of life. And a special joy that God is promising to each and every one of us here tonight. What an amazing opportunity we have when faced with the trials of life to surrender and melt into God's hands. To abide by faith. In the trials that God has allowed in our lives, He has given us a choice to exercise our faith that will generate a great joy. Now, this does not mean you're going to understand why. You know, because we, oh yeah, I understand, we're going to, I'm going to be exercised. But why, Lord? Why? Or the reason God is allowing it to happen to you. But we know that exercising our faith is a must. But guys, outside of just exercising our faith, there are many teachable moments in the trials of our life that we need help with. He wants to grow us through these trials. And one of the toughest aspects, I think, of going through a trial is just not having the wisdom you wish you did. A lot of us want to have wisdom. A lot of us want to be considered wise. A lot of us do. We get older. I know what's up. I'm wise. I got this. Well, I know the older I get, the less wisdom I have. I'm just being honest. It's all God's wisdom. And it brings us to verse 5. If any of you guys lack wisdom, if I lack wisdom, you guys lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives us all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Not just any wisdom, guys. He's not talking about just any wisdom. As a matter of fact, it is our default to want to rely on our own wisdom as to why trials are happening to us. We want to put it back into sync, right? We want to put it back where it feels comfortable. And it's a huge mistake. We read in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So when exercising our faith, guys, we need to remember to ask. To ask. Okay? He has all the wisdom. All we got to do is ask. Right? We just got to ask. So, you know, with supplication is what they call that. Supplication to ask, to pray when you're praying. And, you know, it's like, and a lot of times we just like, Lord, just take this trial away from me. Man, just abide. It's all right. God will reveal it. Maybe not right away. You might see a lot of times we ask for God for wisdom. We ask why, Lord, and we don't get the answer right away. You know, that really burns my hide sometimes when I ask God and you were going to give it to me liberally. But you may not be ready to hear the answer. So He's going to wait. He's going to have to wait to give you that wisdom. Because you are not willing to submit. You are not willing to hear what He has to say. But eventually, if we follow Him, He will. Eventually, He will. In all the times I've ever asked for wisdom, guys, every time I've asked for wisdom, He's shown me. Whether it's how do I run my youth ministry? How do I love a brother that's being difficult? How do I raise my child in love without ramming Jesus down their throat and playing the hypocrite? You know, how do we do that? How do I love my wife when she's not feeling good and you know, she's tired of looking at me because I am pretty annoying? How do I do that? But every time when I'm ready, He's ready. He's been ready. So He's ready to give. He gives me the wisdom to get through those trials that He has called me to. I just have to get past my pride, my control, my selfishness, those kinds of things. So James, what are you saying? So you're saying your marriage is a trial? Have you told Becky? Well, I want to point out that yes, when I don't exercise my faith, you bet marriage is a trial. You know, when I exercise my faith and ask for wisdom, He helps me. He helps me in my marriage. When I ask for wisdom, when I exercise my faith and ask for wisdom, He helps me in all my relationships. It's not easy building relationships in a fallen, broken body. We love screwing it up. But when we exercise our faith, we are able to let Him do it and let Him give us that wisdom for the rest of our lives. He's there, ready. He's our helper. He's our strong tower. So when we ask or pray for wisdom in that perfect work of patience that we get when our faith is exercised, guys, it's a joy, not a trouble. So when you put it that way, James, it doesn't sound so bad. But yet we'll see people continue their miserable relationships, continue just things that are failed, continue to try to fix it, continue to try to hold on to what is decaying and falling apart in their hands, their life right before them. They will try to hold on to the end. You know, they're trying to fix things, and we do it. I do it. We try to fix things by our own understanding. But, you know, we get to that point, well, I don't understand, Lord. I did it this way, I did it that way, I did it this way, I did it that way. Well, don't we always look to other people when we're doing that, but then when we see others, we see others doing the same thing we're doing, trying to take it and give it back and give it and take it, and we look at them and say, wow, you know, if they would just realize they're their own trial. Well, you know, that could be true. And when you think that, and I know people do think that because I think that, I do think that we really need to take a hard look in the mirror and contemplate about ourselves. Contemplate, am I exercising my faith by what I see or by what God wants to show me? Have I been relying on my own wisdom, man's wisdom, to resolve my trials? Or are you asking for God's wisdom in your trial at all? Or are you only seeking His wisdom when you know when it is absolutely necessary? If the latter is your answer, more than not, verses 6 and 8 are a strong reminder for those who ignore a God who wants to bless them and create joy in their life. This is verses 6 through 8, guys. I'm going to read it all at once. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So guys, I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm going to throw it out there real quick. Have you ever read the Bible and it just feels like you're being called out? Because right now, I feel like God is calling me out. I'm getting a little defensive up here, getting my feathers ruffled. And, you know, we see this verse, and we know the truth behind it. It's like it's an automatic. It says, you know, that God's law is written on all of our hearts, and it's just all of a sudden it's like double-minded. Who's double-minded? I'm not double-minded. You must be talking about the guy down the street, the pastor down the street. He might be double-minded. I'm not double-minded. I know. But that's far from the truth, isn't it? See, we get to these places that we feel condemned when we hear stuff like that. And we go to a place of knowing that we have those moments of doubts that we question God. Don't we? I question God. So what you're telling me, James, is if I question God and I'm doubting, well, then God can't help me. He's not going to help me because I'm questioning Him. And so I'm doubting, and that's just it. Well, if that's entered your mind, if that's what you're going through this evening, or if that's, you know, you're just feeling like if you question God that He's just, that you're being double-minded, I want to point out to you to stop it. Stop it. And this is why we can question God as we get to. We get to question God as His children as much as we like. as long as we are willing to hear Him after we question Him. We can question Him. He wants a relationship with us. And let's face it. When I have friends and I have relationships, I want to ask questions. I want to know what they like, what they don't like. You know, if I'm doing something wrong, I'm hoping they're a friend enough to tell me, hey, that's not good. And that's basically what He's doing. He's showing us the obvious. We can question God. It's when we shut Him out and rely on our own understanding that He cannot bless us. Because we have to remember this letter is to encourage. That's what He's doing. And all this time, because we heard that double-minded thing. So we kind of got off point and we're just like, oh, I feel horrible now. But we got to go back and remember this is a message of encouragement. This is a message of love. It's a message to build up, to remind us that we have a joy no matter what trials we face in this life when we exercise our faith in Him. He wants to bless us when we exercise our faith. He is pointing to the obvious. We can get double-minded. So if we give it to God and we take it back, if we give it to God and we take it back, does that seem stable to you? Does that seem stable? And I absolutely not. But that's what we do. And we are totally unstable when we partially choose Him. So I remember believing in God and blatantly living in sin. I mean, just blatantly living in sin. I remember, like, I believed in God. I would sit and hang out with people, and we would do our things that we did. And I just remember, you know, because I was an artist, and I liked to draw about deep things and about, you know, the darkness of mankind and all this really weird, fleshy kind of stuff. But, you know, to me, I mean, I believe God was calling me through those things. You know, He, like, got me to that certain place where I finally just gave up and let Him. But there's just something about being double-minded, truly double-minded. It's when I knew, like, we'd go to church and I'd hear the pastor and I'd be like, man, but then my friends would come calling and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like fun. I want to do that too. You know, I was being crashed around in the storm of life, getting slammed up against the rocks until I chose to hold the hand that was always there. God had His hand. He's just waiting. He's just like, okay, I'll wait. I'll wait. And I just, it was there for me to just, it's there for us to just grab on and hold on to never let go. Now, I'm not saying when you exercise, guys, there's not going to be sting. There's not going to be a burn. I wouldn't lie to you. If you exercise your faith, it's going to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to promise you anything that would be contrary to that. Don't worry, though. All right? It's just God helping you throw away the garbage. It's helping you throw away your control, help you throw away your selfishness, help you throw away your pride. That's all He's trying to do. He's trying to get those things out of the way. He wants to get rid of that garbage. God is enabling us to experience our trials in a whole new light. In fact, it is within that light that joy will shine through you. A joy that only comes from one place, guys. And exercise faith in Jesus Christ. So what have we learned? Let's just, what have we learned? That we can look at our trials in life with great joy. That joy through God, He will use exercising faith to manifest patience, which will allow you to submit to God for God's perfect work that He wants to do in you. He wants to do a work in you, even if you don't understand what that perfect work is. That's pretty amazing. And if you're willing to ask, guess what? He's willing to let you know. He's willing to let you know. Wanting us to be in a place where we are abiding, not without question, but without doubting. So are you doubting God tonight? Because we need to continue to consider that God does not want you to walk away tonight empty-handed. Guys, realize that God wants joy for your life. Yes, He does. But He especially wants you to have joy in your trials. Whatever trials you're faced with tonight, guys, no matter how inconvenient that they may be, and even if you are questioning the very fabric of your reality, I want to challenge you to exercise your faith. Amen? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so much. We thank you. We thank you for the trials of our lives. We thank that you would shape us and mold us and not let us be stagnant, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son that died on the cross, Lord. Help us exercise our faith, Lord. Help us have a desire to serve you, Lord. Lord, in these hours that we have to come together, Father, just encourage us and build us up that we may go back out and find this all joy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.